Hi, this is Christina.
And Carmen.
And this is Novelas con Cafecito, a podcast where we watch the novelas from our childhood,
sip cafecito, and talk shit about them.
Watch with us.
Hi, everyone. This is Carmen.
And Christina.
And we are Novelas con Cafecito. Today, we are talking about
Episode 9.
Yeah. Episode 9 of Teresa. You know, I was trying to remember what happens in this episode for the summary, and I just drawing a blank here.
This was a more of a filler type episode. So
I feel like barely anything happened. Like,
yeah, nothing super important happens.
I don't even know if it's worth summarizing. Except other than, the most exciting. Oh, what? We'll see. I thought the same thing that you thought. What did you think was the best or the most, I don't know, I guess exciting part?
The fight scene?
The fight. Oh, fuck. I forgot about that.
Oh, my God. So you weren't talking about that.
I was talking about when Ruben's wife finds out or when Esperanza calls.
That was good, too. So, okay. Let's summarize.
Yeah. Do you want to?
Yeah. I'll do it.
Okay. Go ahead.
Okay. So in this episode, nothing much happens. Life continues. Luisa... it becomes even closer to Teresa. Teresa learns new information about El Profe that she's going to use to her advantage. Then Mayra and Ruben, Aida's parents, go on their trip. Drama ensues because Esperanza calls Ruben on this trip.
Drama ensues.
Yes, drama ensues. And then
Barlo's being a little bitch and he tries to go jump Mariano, actually, not fight him. He tries to go jump him, but the homies from the vecindad, they're like, nah, fool, and they're step down. Up.
Yeah.
Down as fuck.
But I feel like those are the main things.
Yeah. Okay, so yeah, we start off with Esperanza at the doctor, where we left off last time, and she finds out that Pablito has cancer, and then we go to the vecindad, and he's like waking up from his little faint attack.
Yes, after they were wrestling Hugo, the brother that we do know.
His name is Hugo.
Yeah, his name is Hugo. They're a brother. He knocks him down. He faints. And so he wakes up from that. So, yeah, the Dr. Ledesma is telling Esperanza that the cancer can cause death. Pablito wakes up with Mariano.
Mm-hmm.
And then
it goes back to the doctor. Yeah. Yes. And then he's talking about how much it would cost. And he's like, well, this could cost up to $200,000, like with the treatment and the surgery and everything.
Yes. Okay. That's what I was going to ask you, if that's what the number was or if it was.
Yeah. It
more.
Was like, it was 200,000 pesos, which I'm not going to convert to dollars.
Hold on. I'll convert it.
Oh, okay.
It's $9,440.
Okay. I mean, that's still quite
but
a bit.
This is 2010, right?
True.
So 10 years ago in Mexico, which the conversion was different 10 years ago too.
Yeah.
It was closer. It wasn't this.
Yeah. It's gotten,
high.
I don't know the words.
Yeah, me neither, because I don't know anything about finances and stuff, conversions, you know, but it's
I just know the peso was not worth as
little
as it is now. It was more.
Yes.
Closer exactly. Well, I don't know how close it was ever to the dollar, but it was closer.
It was. Yeah, it wasn't this far. It's way worse now. So this is still a lot of money for them. It is a lot.
We can think, what is that word that people use? Neo-colonial? I can't even say it.
Colonialism?
Yeah.
Neo-colonialism?
Colonialism for the depreciation. Is that a word? Depreciation? I don't even know. I feel like I'm making it up.
Depreciation.
You know, I was close.
You were depreciation. That sounds like you're trying to say depression.
Depreciation. Like if Speedy Gonzalez was saying depression.
Yes. That is exactly what he would say. Depreciation.
Back to this.
Yeah, very expensive for them. So after he tells her the price, then we go to Paolo and Aida.
Oh, she's being so annoying, like always.
Yeah. So this is where Paolo's telling Aida, oh, you're crazy. There's no way Teresa would be dating a taxista. And they're just talking about that.
I'm like, why do you even care, man? She moved on from your ass. You're supposedly with Aida. Like, get over it.
Yeah, he's obsessed.
Get over it.
Why are you so obsessed with me?
Mariah.
So he's telling her he doesn't believe it. She's like, oh, well, he is. She's over you and you're still over here stuck on her. She's over here stuck on him. So
I know, it's like
she has no room to talk. What is she talking about? Fucking crazy. So then Genoveva comes out of nowhere and she gives him.
I could not remember her name for the life of me. I'm like, oh my God. I was trying to and I couldn't. She gets there and she has two VIP tickets to La Quinta Estación. And what a throwback. I still love their one song that was like popular. And I don't know.
Is it the Rosas one?
Quinta Estación. Yeah, I think so. Well, I get confused between. No, that's someone else. That's something Oreja de Vango or whatever. Quinta Estación is the one that says something about tequila.
El sol no regresa.
Yeah. And she talks about drinking tequila, which is, of course, the only part I remember of that song.
Yes. It's a good song.
No, I like that song. Like, yeah. When you're like at a party and it plays and you're just like singing along like really loud.
Yeah. It's one of those pop songs. So Aida is super excited about it, right?
Paolo is unimpressed.
He doesn't care. I think he's just too busy thinking about Teresa. Yeah. I'd be like, forget her. I'm going to go see La Quinta Estación.
Hell right? Yeah. Go have fun.
Aida says, oh, I'm so excited. And she's clearly excited. And he's
like, whatever.
He doesn't care.
And then she pulls out Mariano's card and gives it to him, right?
Yeah.
And this will come into play later.
Yeah. Then we go to Luisa and Teresa. Luisa and Teresa, they're talking about the library. I kind of missed this. I was like, what are they talking about?
I only paid like half as attention to this too. Something about she's telling her in the library and how like she loves that room because her and the profe like have like serious talks there and they like just I don't know something like that. And then I don't know if she's talking about like if it pans to another room and then she's like, oh, but that room, we don't go into that room because that's where her parents were killed. And then Teresa was like, what, your parents were killed? What?
I thought they died in a car accident.
Mm-hmm.
Where did she get that from?
I don't know.
Does everybody just assume car accident? That is what the Dursleys tell Harry Potter. So
you're right.
Is it everyone's cover story? Like, they died in an accident when really they were murdered by an evil wizard. Or some guy that...
angry about fraud.
Then we go to Esperanza. She's going to El Taller to tell Johnny about Pablito. And they're just...
Oh, also, what are our riñones? Are those kidneys?
Yes.
Okay. Oh, I just needed to make sure.
Yeah.
I don't know if we said, so he has cancer in his kidneys then.
Yes. Yeah. She tells Johnny, tiene cáncer en los riñones.
Yeah.
That is one of the organs that I do know in Spanish.
One of the organs.
Yeah.
What's liver in Spanish?
Hold on. I forgot.
I don't know either.
What is liver in Spanish?
I can't remember.
Hígado. Fuck. I couldn't remember that.
Oh, okay. Yeah, I would have never guessed that. Oh, did I? So, you know how there's some Spanish words that sound almost the same like in English? Mm-hmm. Like, there's very similar, right? And I forgot who I was talking to, one of our friends, and we were talking about that and how, like, we don't know some words and we make them up or whatever. And then she said that she wanted to say she was excited. And she said, excitada. Estoy muy excitada. And they're like, ¿estás qué? That means aroused, yes. By the way.
It's not being excited. What word do you say for excited? Alegre?
I pull a Selena and I'm like, estoy muy excited.
It's so hard being bilingual because I don't know either language well enough, I should say.
Yeah, I definitely
feel I remember way. One time I had to call patients because we had a severe weather, right? And so I was like, hola, nomás quiero decirles que tuvimos que reprogramar su cita.
I never remember how to say reschedule.
For the weather. Even. I remembered reschedule and I didn't remember weather. Clima, that's weather. Which I just said weather instead of weather. Weather. See what I mean? I can't speak either language. Fuck.
It's like they say ni de aquí ni de allá. I mean, it's just hard to not know Spanish sometimes or not know it well enough. Like certain words don't even translate that well. And then you're like, ¿cómo se dice?
I always get compliments from the señoras and señores at work when I have to translate. But I think it's just because they're comparing me to all the other pochos and pochas they've met.
And we're like not as bad. We're like a little better than that.
we don't sound terrible compared to them.
I've heard other people.
Yo no sabo.
I'm like, no, the yo no sabo
bitches. The yo no sabo bitches. And not to make fun of people that don't know Spanish, that doesn't make you less Latinx. It's just funny. The yo no sabo is just funny.
Yeah, it is.
But you still, if you want to be called Latinx, you can still be Latinx. Unless you're one of those yo no sabo bitches who are like, who uses Latinx? Like, you can't even speak Spanish. Why are you so mad about
it? Then you can't. Yeah.
Just kidding. Spanish is a colonial language.
We don't claim this language either.
That's why we're bad at both.
My brain is rejecting it spiritually.
My ancestors.
They don't want me to know Spanish or English.
Let's get back to Teresa. Yeah.
Okay, yeah. That was a long digression. Yeah. Look, I know big words. Look, I'm just kidding. Okay.
I do know English. So then Teresa is shocked to learn what happened to the profe and Luisa's parents.
Oh, my God. Also, I just need to say, like, I could not stand Luisa's fake crying here. I don't know if it bothered you. Did you just hear me? I was going to say bothered instead of bothered.
What is happening? We forgot. Wow. We forgot English completely.
Yeah. It bothered me. She's just, like, she's, like, talking as she's, like, crying, but it just sounds so dumb.
It's bad.
She's like, mis papas. I can't do it, but it wasn't that bad. So yeah, but she's like crying. She's telling her that their murder like caused a lot of problems for the family and chisme, and it caused people to alejarse de ellos. Like, how would you say
separate
that? Like,
from them, shun them.
And then she says that her dad was accused of fraud, but he was innocent. And so the person that was accusing him, I need to stop talking.
Accusing, yes. The person that was accusing. So I missed who's the person who came to murder them?
She said it was just somebody who was accusing them of fraud. She didn't say who.
Why would someone accusing you of fraud murder you? I thought this whole time I made up a better story in my head. You want to hear it?
What was your story?
You know what? No, their parents are now both lawyers and they are public defenders.
Or they could also be like private lawyers, doing a pro bono case that was high profile, and they
I like where that's going. So yes, they were doing pro bono work and they're trying to put someone in jail who was bad, right? And this person is let's make him part of the cartel because it's Mexico and I'm being stereotypical. They put in a cartel person, they successfully try him and they're like, yeah, he's found guilty. So then someone else comes and they're like, how dare you put this fool in jail? He was our leader. And so then that person shot both of them.
That sounds very realistic and possible because that kind of stuff does happen. I was actually listening to, I think it's called Woman in Juarez.
Such
or just
a
Juarez,
good
I
podcast.
I told you about
it. I finished it too.
Yeah, it's amazing. And I wish there was more, like, I need more story about this. I need to learn more about it. But anyway.
Yeah. So this podcast looks into the femicides that have been happening in Mexico, specifically Juarez from 1990 and up.
Yeah.
Because women are being killed at this great big number, and the crimes,
alarming rates,
the crimes were not being solved.
Even being investigated.
Journalists were asking why. One journalist specifically, and she's in this podcast. I don't remember her name right now, but
I know because I'm bad at remembering things.
But so they interview the now deceased girl's parents. And all the parents rile up together because they're like, no one is investigating this, and they want to know why. Obviously, because the government is involved, and high profile people are involved. The cartels are involved. Really good podcast.
And so, I remember now what the lawyer I was talking about. So at one point, they arrested two bus drivers for some of the missing and murdered women. And they tried to pin it on them, even though there was like no evidence, nothing. And they actually arrested them.
Put them in jail.
And I don't know how long they were. Yeah. Mm-hmm. And so then the lawyer that was working either to get them out or he got them out. I don't remember. Anyway, they killed him. And then his dad was also a lawyer. They worked together in the same like firm. And I mean, this is basically the story.
Yeah.
I mean, the story we made up.
That's better than what actually they came up with.
We should rewrite the
Sometimes
novella, basically.
I feel the same way. Because the story they come up with in la novella is that the parents were killed because someone accused them of fraud. And that person accusing them of fraud killed them. Doesn't make any sense.
Yeah.
So ours is better.
It doesn't. And they were innocent, supposedly.
So they did not commit fraud. So Luisa is telling Teresa, it feels so good to get this off my chest. We don't talk about this. Girl needs therapy. She needs it. Everyone does, but she especially needs it.
Profe too, because first he doesn't even want to talk about it at all.
Yeah. Why is the bad person brown though that shoots them?
Oh, I had the same thought. The only brown person besides Johnny is the villain.
Whatever. We're going to call it out.
Okay. No.
Okay, Novela, we see you.
We see you. Okay, so then, yeah, we go to the La Vecindad, and Humberto is acting a fool. He really is doing the most right now. He's drunk. And then he says it's Doña Juana's fault that he's drunk because she doesn't like him.
A typical cishet man. He is blaming a woman for his problems, for his rejection, because let's be honest, most guys do not handle rejection. Most people?
No. Well, men.
But yes, Humberto's being an ass.
And Doña Nachita's like, shut up.
Get out of here. It's not Juana's fault. Get out of the...
She's like, you're the one who's drunk. Like, just get out of here. Like, shut up.
Then we go to Aurora and Mariano inside Mariano's house talking to Pablito. Pablito's feeling better. And Mariano wants to move him to his room just so he can sleep there. And then Aurora's like, you're going to feel better, and gives him like kisses. And then Pablito's like...
Pablito's been a little flirt. Oh,
chill. Yeah.
Oh, he's like, me quiero quedar con esa señorita bonita.
Me quiero quedar con esa señorita que me da besitos. Like, okay. He wants to stay with Aurora because she gave him kisses on the cheek. Calm down, playa.
But it's a cute little moment, I guess.
He's like, what, 8?
Yeah, 8 or 9. Mm-hmm.
Then we go to
Paulo. Yeah, yeah. And he's eating with his douchey friends who look like douches. And... he calls Mariano, like, I didn't really fully pay attention to this part, and I don't know, like, why he calls Mariano, and he's like,
so he's calling Mariano because he wants Mariano to come pick him up, so that when he comes picks him up from his taxi, they're gonna jump him. But Mariano
is busy
saving Pablito. Yeah,
saving lives.
So he's like, you know what, you piece of shit? Don't come pick me up. And Mariano's like, who is on the phone?
You can't even do he's He's like, you can't even do your one job, right? You're a taxista and you're not a good taxista. And my dad's just like, okay.
Okay, I've got more things going on. Bye, bitch. Then Teresa and Luisa are talking at the library. She's just telling her, Profe was 24 when this happened. And Luisa was 9, right?
So how old? Yeah, I'm like, how? They do not look that far apart in age.
They look the same age. How old is he supposed to be?
So he's supposedly in his like early 20s when this happened, and she was supposedly 9.
And she is now Teresa's age, who's 18. Oh, so this was only 9 years ago.
And neither of them look like 18-year-olds. So then he would be what, in his
30s?
Yeah. So 9 years have passed.
Because they both look like they're in their 30s.
I could see him being in his 30s, but I cannot see Luisa being 18 or Teresa being 18 or anyone being 18.
All older.
They all look like adults, they all look like 30. Which, I mean, people don't look old when they're 30. They look like adults. You know what I mean? Like, I know, like, people freak out about being 30, but it's not even, like, it's not even a bad thing.
Back to this.
Okay, and so when they're chismeando about what happened, Profe walks in, and then they, like, change the topic, you know, because he doesn't
because
like...
Because Luisa was telling her about his ex that left him at the altar.
Oh, yeah.
We cannot leave that part out. Yeah. That was important.
That was the most important, one of the important things, because it will come back later. And so will she.
So will she, yes.
Yeah. And then Teresa and him go into his office to talk or whatever, right?
Yes. They go into his office to talk, and Teresa's just like, oh, can I give you some notes on your book? And he's like,
what?
All right. You're already done reading it? What?
He's basically amazed at everything she does. It's a little sweet. I don't know. She's like, I couldn't stop thinking about you. I mean, your book.
Oops, your book. Like, no, stop lying. So, yeah, she says this flirty thing. And he's like, what?
And he's like, he looks shook. He's like,
he couldn't believe it. Me? You're thinking about me?
Me?
So then we go to Mariachi guy walks in Mariano's house, super drunk. He's like, Nachita, me corrió.
And Aurora is still there.
At this point, she just wants to hang out.
Yeah, I think so.
So he tells Mariano that Nachita kicked him out of the little yard area, common area. And he's like, I can't believe Juana doesn't love me. You're so lucky to have Teresa because Teresa loves you so much.
And Aurora's just there awkwardly like, but Mariano is not lucky to have Teresa because she's plotting. trying to figure out who to hook up with to get money, Ruben.
Then we go to Profe and Teresa talking about his book. He tells her this, that they have like a super great teacher-student relationship. It's such a great chance for a teacher to be questioned by his student, blah, blah, blah. And they're just talking about that, and she's all flirty.
I feel like he was way creepier in the beginning, and now he's like
normal, gets normal, right? Because he's like, oh, I can't be with Teresa, she's my student. But then he's gonna get creepy again. But he was more creepy. Okay. He stared at her more. He caressed the chair behind her.
Yeah, like it was creepier, and now he's like normal.
So then we go to back to La Vecindad, Mariano's house, apartment, whatever. Aurora's telling him that it's what he did for Pablito was amazing. And he says, well, this is what we do for each other in La Vecindad.
But yeah, so he's basically like, you know, we're all here to help each other out. We're like, you know, we're a community. We're family. This is what family does.
Yes. And then Nachita runs in as he's saying that to tell him about Pablito's cancer. Then we go to Luisa, continuing to tell Teresa
to spill all the tea about her brother.
She's continuing to talk about Paloma. Paloma's the ex that left them at the altar. She looks hurt because Paloma, or she's still hurt about this years later. Paloma didn't want to stay with El Profe because she didn't want to take care of a little girl that wasn't hers. This is making it sound like that was his daughter, but it was his sibling. Like,
it was his sibling, but he was in his 20s. She was 9. He is now the primary caregiver to her because the parents are gone.
She could have still... She didn't have to take over her care. She could have, I don't know.
No. It's not like, first of all, she's 9. I mean, 9-year-olds are a lot more self-sufficient than like, you know, a 3-year-old. Like And it's like it's really a non-issue. Like this lady just didn't
care. Yeah, she was looking for an excuse.
But also another reason. she was looking for a reason to leave probably. But that's one of the reasons she left. And another reason she says it's because... of the stuff with the parents and the, I guess, mystery about
whether they're guilty,
why they were killed, whether they're guilty or not. And she's like, I just can't associate with your family because of your parents.
Yeah, that too.
Which is, I don't know.
It doesn't make sense to me either.
It doesn't make sense to me.
She was just looking for reasons to leave. Then she tells Teresa that after that, her brother
started drinking a lot.
And then he cut himself with a cup during one of his drinking rages. And so he vowed to change after that. Teresa's going to use all of this information.
Yeah. But she's already like, you know, plotting and, you know.
Yeah. But now she knows his
vulnerabilities. And so because she's saying like after he stopped drinking, after that incident, he dedicated himself to working and teaching and blah, blah, blah. And then Teresa's like, but something is missing from his life.
Love.
So you could see her little plan.
It's just spinning in her head.
It's coming into fruition. Yes.
Then we cut to El Profe. He's working on his dedication to Teresa. The lights are off in his office. Then we leave that. And it seems random, but it's going to come back at the end of this episode. Then we go to Pablito's family. They're with Mariano. They're talking about how to raise money for his treatment. Gumberto's being dumb, as always. During this, and he's like, "What? You already sold all your stuff for the wake. What else is there to do?"
I mean, I kind of see his point.
No, you're right.
He's being like hopeless, and Mariano is being optimistic and hopeful. And,
yeah.
Okay, so they're talking about how they can solve this. Then Mariano's dad gets there, and Mariano explains what's happening, and he's like, "They'll catch you up, but I have to go talk to the doctor and work all night to try to like raise money." And he walks out, but he doesn't leave right away.
He goes to see Teresa. After that, we go to Aurora talking about her talking to her dad about Pablito, and just saying that she wants to help them with the situation. She tells him that she met Pablito through Mariano and Teresa, but mostly through Mariano. Her dad is like, yeah, of course we'll help, but
didn't you want to leave? Vacation to avoid Mariano?
Avoid these people, specifically Mariano.
And he's like, all of a sudden you want to help? Like, what? And Aurora's like, well, I just, you know, recognize my privilege and I want to help.
Then we go to Mariano telling Teresa about Pablito, and he's saying we're gonna work together as a community, as the neighborhood.
No. First, he's telling her about it, That he has cancer and like how much is going to cost. And Teresa is like, well, what are they going to do? And he's like, what do you mean they? We are going to help them. And she's like, I'm not going to do anything. So she's like, well, that's what they get for being poor. That's what we all get for being poor. But then yeah. She kind of stops because I think she senses Mariano's like, what the fuck are you talking about? We need to help them. We need to do what we can.
Well, it's just messed up. It's so messed up.
Then they're just kissing. And then Paolo
walks in, barges in like it's his damn house
with his stupid friends, right? She's like, what are you doing here? Get out. And he's like, no, we need to talk. We're going to jump Mariano.
We're going to put him in his place,
Says that she'll talk to him. But she'll talk to him. She'll agree to talk to him and they can't hurt Mariano, right? She stays there to talk with Paolo, and Mariano and Paolo's friends get out. Paolo's like, look, I know what you're doing here. You're just acting jealous, trying to make me jealous.
Oh, when he's the jealous one. She literally no longer cares.
She's like, I've moved on. You're with Aida. Get out of here. Why are you here? And he's like, look, you don't have to date another poor ass starving person like you.
Muerto de hambre. He's like, I can give you everything. I can give you everything you want, everything you need. And then she's like, really?
Well, this
like, wow. Like, do you love Mariana or not? Like, you know, I cannot stand her.
Her desire anyway, to be rich trumps the love for Mariano. Yeah.
Everything.
Trumps
everything for yeah, Mariano. Yeah. And so then Paolo's like, but my mom would never let me date you. And she's like, well, then forget it.
Does this offer include marriage? And he's like, well, you know, my mom. OK, fuck it. No. But what if he had said yes? She'd be like, all right, bye.
She would have left Mariano right then and there.
Mariano.
Oh, I guess before they actually specifically say that part of the conversation, it goes back to Aurora and dad. Aurora's dad, whose name I don't know. And then they're talking about, he wants to know what's going on with Mariano. And then she explains about Pablito and just wanting to help. And like, there's nothing going on with Mariano. And then it goes back to Teresa and Paolo. And then that's when she's like, does this offer include marriage? And he's like, no, my mom would never let me be with you. And she's like, then get your fucking ass out of here. And then his friends come back inside and they try to fight. And there's like,
yeah, Mariano runs in. The friends run in. They're like pushy. And Mariano's ready to fight all of them.
He's ready to throw hands. I think he could take them all.
I think he could.
They're from the country club.
Yeah. Oh, no, no. So right before they walk in, Paolo's like, well, you know what? We're just going to go beat Mariano up. And then Teresa's like, you're going to pay for this. And he's like, what can you do to me? You're a muerta de hambre. And she says, well, maybe I can't do anything, but el profesor de la barrera can. And then he's like, what does this have to do with anything?
Like, why is she even bringing him up, though? Like, it's literally, like I just think it's dumb, though.
Yeah, so as he's all confused about why she brought him up, that's when Mariano runs in fighting all the friends at the same time. And then La Vecindad, they show up. Johnny shows up. Cumberto shows up. Some random people we don't know show up. And it's about to be, I thought it was going to be like this big fight scene with La Vecindad.
There's like a stare off, and then it goes back to Aurora and Aurora's dad. Yeah. And so I guess she says her mom isn't actually dead, that she knows her mom's not dead, that she is actually, you know, somewhere halfway around the world with another man and other kids out there. And dad's like, well, she's dead to me and she's dead to you too. Forget her.
I wonder, are we going to learn who her mom is?
She comes back? I feel like we do eventually learn who her mom is. And so then she's like, my mom never loved me. And then her dad's like, but I love you and you have me and blah, blah.
Yeah. And then, well, he also says, I wonder if you're latching onto Teresa as a friend and Mariano as a crush because of the abandonment from your mom. I'm like, damn, dude.
Like, damn, he's getting damn. All right.
And then they make up and hug. Yeah. Then we go back to La Vecindad. Everyone leaves Teresa's house. Mariano's all riled up, naturally so.
It's like, what the hell is his deal? Blah, blah, blah. And Teresa's like, forget it. He's an idiot. You have better things to do. She's being supportive. Yeah. Never mind that she was ready to leave him if Paolo was going to marry
that. Her. He doesn't know that.
Yeah.
And then outside of La Vecindad, Paolo and his idiot friends are talking. And then they leave. And he's like, well, you know what?
Oh, and does it seem like he pays them?
Oh,
Did you notice that? Maybe he does. Damn.
I don't know if they just shake hands or if he pays them. So I'm like, wow, you don't even have friends. You have to pay your friends to jump somebody. If they were real friends, they would do it for free. Real friends
jump people for you for free. Yeah. We're down. I mean, like younger me. Now I wouldn't jump anyone. But high school me, let's not go there. Middle school and high school me. So then his idiot friends leave and Paolo is like, I have a new plan. And he writes down Mariano's taxi plate number. Where is this going? Is he going to call his taxi place and complain about him or something?
I don't know, because also at one point Mariano says the taxi's not his.
Yeah.
So I feel like it has to do something with that. Yeah,
something. And then we go to Aida and Genoveva talking. They're just talking about how Paolo is late. Genoveva is like, I can't believe you let him leave. Like, bitch, that's your son.
No. But I can't even believe Genoveva's over here telling Aida, like, you know, you shouldn't let him treat you this way. You need to play hard to get. So, like, now we have Aida's mom who already told her this. And Paolo's mom is telling her the same thing. And I can't even believe Aida fucking waited for him at his house to get back. So they could go to the concert. Like, I'd be like, you know, fuck off. Like, let's just fucking, like, what? Like, I would just leave. Give me the tickets.
I'm going to go by myself to this concert.
Like, you don't have to wait around.
For Paolo specifically. Then Aida tells Genoveva, well, I told him that Teresa was with someone else. And Genoveva's like, stop bringing her up. Stop it. Just stop bringing her up. You need to figure out how you're going to get with my son. Fucking gross.
Super weird, but she's right.
Weird, but okay.
She's right in the sense that, like, I guess her advice, but it's still weird because that's her, I don't know. It's just weird coming from his mom, right?
Yeah.
Like, that's not right.
So then we go back to La Vecindad, and they're just talking with Pablito about having patience. They don't tell him he has cancer. They just tell him.
I don't know what the right thing would be to do.
The truth. Course,
but I think it's better to be honest, than to hide it.
But they.
Like, that doesn't seem right to me. He's 9. He's, you know. I think he's old enough to know what's wrong with him, and he has a right to know what's wrong with him. Children have rights.
They do. And people think they don't. They need to hide things from them, protect them, be mean to them. I'm not going to go into that because, you know.
Oh, I was about to go in.
It's a whole separate hour.
No, I was just going to say, you're right. It's a separate thing. But the point is that they should have told them. The right thing would have been to tell him. He deserves to know.
So that he's just super happy that he doesn't have to go to school anymore. And then we go to Doña Refugio and Don Armando talking about how they're going to use extra money, figure out how to help Pablito.
Yeah, they say they're going to, the raise that they get, they're going to act like they don't have a raise and that money is going to go for Pablito. And Teresa overhears them and she looks pissed.
That bitch.
Fucking bitch.
Then
I'm like, this kid is sick and he needs money and you're fine. It's messed up.
So the next day we see Ruben and Mayra in Paris, in Paris. He's like, I'm going to go take a shower. And she's like, okay.
He can at least be a good cheater.
Why?
And he's the worst. Yeah. He's stupid.
So he leaves his phone, mistake number one, right? He leaves his phone there and it rings. And she wasn't even going to snoop. She wasn't, even though she should be snooping.
She wasn't snooping.
Yeah.
She
wasn't snooping at all. And, the phone rings, voicemail is left, so she picks it up to hear the voicemail because she thinks it's Aida.
She doesn't.
Yeah.
Yeah, yeah,
and
yeah.
So she listens to the voicemail, Esperanza has left. Mm-hmm. And then we leave that.
She's like, ¿Cuándo vas a regresar, mi amor? Te extraño. Yeah.
Then she looks rightfully so, super angry, right? And then we cut from that. From her angry face, it switches to Paolo's friend. I'm getting to Paolo's house. I don't know this guy's name.
Still no sign of Paolo. His name is Raul, I think. He gets there. Paolo has made other plans to go out with his friends. So then he gets there and he's like, oh, where's Paolo? We're supposed to meet up to go out to the antro. Aida is like out of sight, out of mind. He has zero plans to even go to that concert. And she's been waiting for his ass to get there. And he didn't even have plans with her. He had plans with his friend. Like, if that is not a sign for you to, like, move the fuck on, like, what is it going to take?
Or Aida says she's going to continue waiting for Paolo. And then Genoveva's like, you know what?
She's like, what the hell's wrong with you? She's like, go out with Raul. And this is why I'm like,
my son needs a lesson.
Play hard to get, make him jealous.
What the fuck? So weird.
First of all, he's not going to be jealous because he does not give any shit right. about Aida.
So then we go to Mayra asking Ruben who the fuck Esperanza is.
She's yelling at him. She is yeah. going off.
And he's pretending he doesn't know.
Well, it cuts. Yeah. It cuts. Yeah. He's acting like he doesn't know, but they don't like get into the conversation yet because it goes back to Esperanza reading to Pablito, and this part doesn't really matter. Like, who cares? But I guess it doesn't. I always say that, and then something ends up mattering. She basically is like, oh, I shouldn't have called Ruben. And it's like, no, you shouldn't have.
At least be a good side piece, God. You know what you're doing, so might as well be good at it.
And no one is good at it. Like, wow. Yeah, so Mayra and Ruben are arguing. Ruben is gaslighting her like crazy. He's like, oh, you're saying you don't trust me? You think I'm being infiel? And it's like, first of all, yes. Yes and yes and yes, you are. You are.
Yeah. So,
and then, keep cutting you off. This part is not yet like the worst part of it, but she's like, he's basically saying like, oh, he's guilt tripping her. He's like, that's not even, did you hear her say my name? Did you hear my name in the voicemail? She probably called the wrong number.
Here you are. Like,
it's probably not even freaking out me.
Over this. And this poor Esperanza is looking for someone. She's out there looking for some pitch. She's looking for you.
And first, the wife is not buying it. Mayra's not buying it at first.
Yeah. Yeah, this is where we go to Mariano talking to Dr. Ledesma, asking for his help. Then we cut back to Ruben, telling Mayra, how dare you think I'm cheating? What I give you isn't enough. I'm a good provider. First of all, that's not everything.
Have you not had a good life? Do I not give you everything you want?
Don't
I treat you
like a queen? Don't you live like a queen? Does you having a house not permit me to cheat on you?
Are you really going to let this measly voicemail come between us? Really? After everything we've been through? And then she apologizes to him.
The gaslighting, man. It's going to make you do things. Because when you're gaslighting, you're distorting someone's reality, right?
Yeah. It's
so abusive.
Yeah. And so I've heard people say that cheating is abusive, right? And I've never really looked at it that way. Like, I've looked at it. Yeah, it is fucked up, but I haven't looked at it as abusive, but like gaslighting is involved with cheating. Lying is involved with cheating. Gaslighting is abusive. Like,
because some relationships, they'll cheat and immediately they get caught, break up. They cheat. They say, hey, this happened. What do we do about it? Right. But the way Ruben, so not all the time, I would say it's abuse.
Right. Right.
But
I see what you're saying. Yes, of course.
It's abuse.
Because he's guilt tripping her. He is distorting her reality. Yeah. Making her think all the problems are her fault. Yeah. It's her perception of the things that are causing her to be sad instead of his behavior.
Then he gets mad and he's like, I can't believe you're doing this to me. And then she apologizes like desperately, like, no, I'm so sorry. Where are you going?
Yeah.
And this is classic. That's
emotional abuse.
Yeah. And you know, this novella really, that scene does such a good job of showing what gaslighting is. Oh my God.
Wow. Yeah.
So if you need to know,
thank you, novella, for teaching everyone about gaslighting.
Then we go to Teresa asking Armando about his race because she's overheard this conversation, right? But Armando doesn't know. Don Armando doesn't know.
I was so mad. So
she's like, oh, es que los libros están bien caros.
She's asking for the money
that he wants to use on her books. She wants to use that money for her textbooks and to look good at school.
Oh, yeah. It wasn't even for... Yeah, it's to look good.
And then she's talking about how...
At work or whatever.
Yeah, and then Doña Refugio is like, oh, did you see the clothes that Aurora left for you? And then Teresa's super mad about having to have secondhand clothes.
She's just so annoying. Like, I can't. Sometimes I'm like on Teresa's side, but today I was not on her side. I was like, shut the fuck up. Stop being fucking greedy. You're like her greediness is, you know, might affect their ability to help Pablito. And they want to help Pablito.
Pablito deserves it, right? And Teresa is so engrossed in becoming rich that she doesn't give a fuck about this poor kid that she knows from since he was born that he has cancer, and she's like, fuck him, I want that raise money. Yeah. And so then she's getting mad about secondhand clothes is amazing.
I love getting clothes from my friends that they don't like and I like, or when they're going through their closets about like, you know, sometimes periodically you go through your closet to see what you don't wear anymore, and I'm like, I'll be right there like saying, I am. If you don't want that, I'll take that.
So when you go through your closets and you have clothes that you don't want to go, let Carmen know because she's going to take it. But secondhand is where it's at. Secondhand and Ross.
Oh, yeah.
And then we go to Luisa. Luisa, we go back to Profe's house, right? Luisa goes into the office, Profe's office, and he's like, wow, Teresa really shocked me with the comments about my book. Luisa's like, yeah, I see what you mean now. Teresa's amazing.
You're like, she's really growing on me. Like, I really
she's
like
my friend. Her. Then she gives him dinner and she leaves. And then what the? So then after that,
what the fuck is
right,
this scene?
So he's signing his book, right?
He's writing a little like note for her.
And he's like, oh, Teresa. And then her head just fucking appears right next floats. To his head, just floating, like smiling, like
and he's like, Teresa, Teresa, Teresa.
And it like echoes while her head is floating next to him.
Her head is floating so bad. And you know, I was watching this with Amparo, which is why I took half of his notes.
Oh, okay. You couldn't even tell.
But she's like, yeah. Oh, okay. Well, wow. So she said that scene with Teresa's head reminded her of you know, like in Disney Channel when there's like a good like an angel version and then like the devil version of them. And they're like trying to decide like, you know, what to do. And that's what it reminded her of. Like Teresa's floating
because
head.
Because
like,
her head
right
appears
there.
Right above his head or next to his head above his shoulder.
Next to his head. And it's so weird. Random. It doesn't look good.
On like Instagram, you have seen this clip because I posted it as a reel. And on TikTok, I put it on TikTok as well.
Yet another reason to follow us
media.
On social
media. Because we're going to put up reactions, episode reactions. Like that thing was so funny. But I told Mami about it. And then Mami said that novelas did that shit back then.
Yeah, I mean, I guess. I don't really remember. Yeah,
but apparently but it was common.
I could see it because novelas love doing cheesy ass shit like that.
Fucking novelas.
Oh, you should watch it with Mami.
I will. Yeah. We should see if Mami wants to come on. No.
I don't think she will. I think she thinks this is pointless. Eso como para qué, okay, okay.
You gave her a weird accent she doesn't have.
Okay,
because you were like, eso como para qué, okay, okay. No, I didn't even do it right. Eso como para qué.
I said, eso como para qué, okay.
No, you said it different this time.
I don't know what you're talking
Mami
about.
Mami doesn't sound like a Chilanga, Carmen.
Did we establish that that's wrong to say?
No, no.
I just, it doesn't feel right. I don't want to say it. And that, I didn't do the accent on purpose. It just came out.
It's because you're corriente.
Oh, so now you're saying Chilangos are corrientes? Because she's being classist.
Oh, yeah. I was talking about no mames and chido. And she's like, no, you guys could not say those words growing up because they were ghetto and corriente. I'm like, mom, but they were fun.
Like, first of all, mother, we are ghetto.
First of all.
We're from Oakland. First of all, you were complaining about the Spanish words, and it's like, look where you moved, you know? Look where you raised us for the first 14 years of our lives. This is why we are the way that we are. Corrientes
Someone
at heart.
Said, eres Naka? And I was like, thank you.
I was like, yes, I do look like Nacasia.
Yes, I love Nacasia. She is my idol.
Nacasia's my bitch.
If you guys don't know what we're talking about, you need to look up
Nacaranda and Nacasia. Remember, actually... For a while, Mami would make fun of us and she was calling us Nacasia and Nacaranda.
Oh, you know what?
We should have dressed up
next
as
Halloween.
Them.
We're going to be Nacaranda and Nacasia. And we're going to post pictures of them so you know who they are if you don't know. But if you know, you know. But this brings us to an end.
Yeah. So thank you, everyone,
thank
for
you,
listening.
Thank you. Yes. Rate and review us.
We'll catch you on the flip.
You interrupted me.
I'm sorry.
No.
I thought you were done.
We must always mention this. Rate and review us.
Okay.
Five stars only.
Five stars. Cinco estrellas nomás, por favor.
Porfa. Cinco estrellas, porfa. Also, follow us on social media. We're on Instagram, Novelas con Cafecito. Twitter, Novelas con Café. You can just ignore Facebook because I don't use it.
Yeah, who cares about Facebook?
Instagram is where it's at.
It's for the boomers.
But yeah, follow us on Instagram if you want extra things.
I don't know. I randomly remembered spread us.
Yeah, spread the word about us. But the way I said it a few episodes ago, I was like, spread us,
please.
Yeah, so tell your friends about us if you're enjoying this. If you know anyone that likes rewatch podcasts like Office Ladies, we're basically like the Nacasia Nacaranda version of Office. We rewatch telenovelas. We also have no expert insights on telenovelas. We're just talking shit about them.
We're just criticizing them with no professional background to back our criticisms.
Exactly. Yeah. But we'll catch you next week.
Yeah. Yeah. Bye, everyone.